This is Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here at Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of the Revelation. And I hope you're enjoying this. We do this about every few months. I think that we've probably done this study 10, 20, I don't know how many times, a lot. Anyway, every time we go through it, we pick up a little bit more. And I think God reveals, the more you dig and bother to dig into the Bible, the more God will meet you there, and he will reveal himself. And the more you dig, the more he'll open up. And I believe that's the way God works. The more you seek him, the more he'll seek you. You want to seek God, because the more you seek God, he'll seek you, and he'll seek you out, and he'll come and visit you. And draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. So let's draw nigh to God right now in Jesus' name. And we left off yesterday at the 11th chapter, and we were studying this entire 11th chapter. These two witnesses, kind of like Elijah, they can withhold rain. They have the power to breathe fire out of their mouths. Now, these two olive trees, quite possibly bodies of believers that are capable of destruction. And the fire that comes out of their mouths, quite possibly either fire and brimstone that God enables them, or simply a natural form of military power to destroy the enemy. And a lot of this stuff is symbolic. So keep in mind that it is symbolic, and it not everything is what it appears to be. So as we were studying, we've studied the beast, quite possibly the beast and the Antichrist, the same body of non-believers that are demon-possessed by the demon spirits of Satan that form the Antichrist body. As the body of Christ forms in this world that believe in Jesus Christ, they form the body of Jesus Christ, of course. They form the body of the devil. And this makes more sense to me in a lot of senses. And the 11 verse 8, their corpses will be left lying in the streets, displaying the bodies defeated. Well, I'm telling you, folks, these two witnesses, two lampstands, which were the lampstands in the first part of Revelation, is considered to be bodies of believers. Not one, but bodies, multiple. Conglomeration of different of people. This, I want you to just think about it now. The corpses left in the streets. I am dead. Your life, you're dead with Christ, and your life is hid with him. Your body is dead. Consider your body to be dead. The Bible says we're dead with him. We died with him. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. We're dead. You get that now. And our bodies are in Christ now. The corpses. That's the dead body that we leave behind. And we are a new creation. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave his life for me. This is something that we must also think about, because the body of Christ is spiritual. You leave your body in the streets, And where the Christ was nailed to the cross, were crucified with him. Now, in the great city where the Lord was nailed to the cross, is this symbolic of where being crucified with Christ, the two bodies of believers that are left on this earth at the time of the lifting up or the taking up of the Christians? Now you might think that's far-fetched, but I want you to think about it because it very well could be. Now, where their Lord was nailed with the cross, spiritually, this meaning that a religious body or a spiritual body of Christ, 3.5 days, maybe being years, corresponds to the 3.5 years of the first half of the tribulation period. This is the body of Christ, possibly. Just think about it now. The people from all the world see their bodies. They've died to the flesh. They've died and left their bodies behind. And they're spiritually the body of Christ. The olive tree witnesses. The 144,000. The celebration now that quite possibly the devil defeats them. The beast, the body of the Antichrist, is they're celebrating a defeat of the Christians because they, well, face it, if you've got to take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell except you have the mark. And they're celebrating this 3.5 years. Now, they were taken up into heaven in a cloud. 11 verse 12. The rapture of the church. It all comes together now. Quite possibly. This is the event that everybody refers to as the rapture. And it represents it's consistent with the portrayal of the two witnesses as Elijah was taken up into heaven and seen no more, and Enoch also taken up into heaven, two witnesses. Now, John's consistent in his imagery, and we have to be consistent in our representation of this work, of the how we interpret this book of the Revelation. John, now the meaning, come up here. Same as in 4:1, come up here. Where the opening of heaven is to the body of believers, it means heaven's open to receive those who have faithfully discharged their duty. And 11 verse 13, this means only a small portion, a tenth. Only a small portion experienced this upheaval. And the city can represent the entire Babylonian, New Babylonian Empire. As we see that these people praised God and they glorified God and they were taken up. They died to themselves, death to the self-will. If any man come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. In other words, die to himself and live unto the Spirit of Christ. Now, do we take Revelation as a semi-literal, coded blueprint of futuristic events of the human race? Or do we symbolically interpret it as many things are just simply symbolic. And if you're wise enough to have a spiritual imagination, the two witnesses are those witnesses symbolic of bodies of believers that are taken up in the rapture. Now, 11 verse 14, the third woe. The third woe occurs in 12:12 when Satan is thrown down to earth. The seventh trumpet, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. Then there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world now belongs to our Lord and to his anointed, and he will reign forever and ever." See, the 24 elders who sat on the thrones before God prostrated themselves and worshiped God and said, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, for you have assumed your great power and you have established your reign." See, Jesus returns and takes up his church. Quite possibly the two bodies of believers that are left upon this world that are still witnessing for Christ, the two olive trees that have died and left their bodies behind. And they were resurrected as the body, as the Bible tells us, we'll be resurrected. And the nations rage, but your wrath has come, and the time for the dead to be judged, the recompense of your servants, the prophets, and the holy ones, and those who fear your name, and the small and the great alike, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Now, 11 verse 15, with the repentance of the people following the ascension of the witnesses, the earthly realms transfer their authority to heaven. This verse, along with the hallelujah from 19:2, forms a kind of a text, kind of like Handel's Great Messiah, the hallelujah chorus. The reaching and the climax of the power of God and the taking back of this world. The time long awaited is now here, except that it will have to wait through the seven scenes for the righteous to be rewarded and the wicked to receive that final destruction. Now, this is not chronologically in order, so keep that in mind. This section 4, the seven scenes, in this section is presented as a series of scenes which begin with the birth of the Messiah and continue through the time of preparation for the judgment. And it illustrates John has addressed the present situation of the church, section 1. Sketch the future of the church and the Babylonian Empire, section 2, the seven seals, and described how God is warning the new Babylon, calling it to repentance, just like he called Jeremiah to call Israel to repentance, and they never did. And then section 3, the seven trumpets. Now, he will retrace all of the salvation history from the time of the birth of the Messiah to his own birth. It was typical of apocalyptic literature for the writer to retell the story of history from the time of, in this case, John the Apostle, to the time of the actual writer, so that the reader could be placed historically within the revelation. This history was of necessity of world history for God and all of the nations. Chapter 12 serves this historical survey function in Revelation. The section is pivotal one, introducing an intensifying slide towards the destruction of Babylon and culminating in the description of the final victory of God and the inauguration of the new heavens and the new earth. Then God's temple in heaven was open, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and an earthquake, and a heavy hail. The Ark of the Temple, the Ark of the Covenant, was seen in heaven. So we find that the Ark of the Covenant is not lost. It's still in heaven. It was taken up to heaven by God, and it's still there. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to understand. Give us that unction of the Holy Spirit so that we can not be ignorant, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We thank you, God. And if those out there that are not born again, receive Christ right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Heal me. Give me your Spirit. Let me be a dead man. And let me raise from this dead in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. Call us, 928-368-6766. Leave a message. Let us know, and we'll certainly call you back. And write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study. Show yourself approved.